For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Wreck, Bweebum, featuring XV.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron. I am Brian Kilby, and I am eating Transformers gummies.
Nice. Are they good, Brian?
Delicious.
They are fantastic. They are not quite as good as the My Little Pony gummies that I purchased at the same time, but they are pretty darn good.
You know, it's funny. It's not related, but My Little Pony related. This quiz show on Wait, Don't Tell Me. They actually had Bill Clinton on, and they asked him questions about the show My Little Pony.
Nice.
That's like, very interesting.
They're like Bill Clinton, the smartest man. Like, since you're so accomplished and you know everything, let's ask you about something that you may not know about My Little Pony. And oddly enough, he got all three questions correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
Yeah, you can get him
right now.
Actually, he's just like, shoot me.
So, with me this week, I have John DeLuna, Amy, XV, and Bweebum. Lots of stuff going
Hello.
On this week, so let's go ahead. JD is not here. He was killed in a plane crash over the Sea of Japan.
Oh, geez.
Oh no.
There were no survivors.
Don't say that.
Oh, my
very nice.
I like how that's where your mind goes.
Yeah.
Like, sorry.
It's a lot nicer than some of the things he could say, Amy.
That's true. That's true.
True.
He'll be back next week in a flashback. So, this is our post-Dark of the Moon Super Show. Last week was our Dark of the Moon Super Show. Every show going forward will be a Super Show.
Well, now that you've challenged me, I will have to provide.
Yes. So, guess what? We're getting a black repaint of Masterpiece Rodimus. And it's not that bad. I don't know how.
It's definitely not boring.
No.
It's definitely not
no,
all black.
It's not
either.
That black either. Yeah.
No, so let's pull
See,
that up.
Very bizarre.
It's pretty nice. You know,
of course, it's going to cost almost $300, so you know, going to be pretty determined.
I wonder if it's going to be faulty like mine was.
I hope not.
Yeah,
I hope.
Well, you know, there
Brian,
is supposedly yeah. the corrected version coming out in October, so this will probably be run off the same modifications.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be hilarious if it wasn't.
It's kind of like Blacklight Rodimus. So I mean, it's kind of like Rodimus as a teenager, you know, having a blacklight in his room, smoking lots of pot, you know, stuff.
I
like
bet that thing would look great under blacklight.
Yes.
I don't know. I think and it would look normal under blacklight. If you put it under a blacklight, it would look like regular Masterpiece Rodimus.
That would be a neat trick if they could.
That would be awesome.
So is he just a completely different take on a black repaint, or is he supposed to be somebody?
XV and I were talking about that before the show.
Dreadwingy, I guess.
I was saying that it was almost like a Euro Rodimus if we'd have got one, and XV's like, well, it wasn't neon enough. But it's kind of, I guess.
I actually correctly said fluorescent, not neon.
Fluorescent,
but
yes. So XV, he thinks it's more like just late G1.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like 1988 Rodimus Prime.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Very Decepticon-y, yes, mm-hmm. Headmaster, Target Mastery.
Yeah, maybe just after like the double Target Masters that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, like pre-Micromaster. Yeah, pretty neat though. I would, if it wasn't $300, I mean, I would buy it for $15.
And I definitely would like to see this color scheme applied to a toy I actually want to own.
Sorry,
take
I'm still
those, take those praises however you want.
So we're getting we have that Legends Rodimus that's in the 2-pack at Walmart or 3-pack, I guess. Yeah. Maybe we could get it in that color instead of that awful orange that it's in.
And it's not even really an orange; it's more of an off gold.
It's bad. It's a bad color scheme. As much as I love Rodimus, I skipped it just for that.
That color of orange reminds me of the flavor of Tootsie Pops.
Yeah. Yeah, so that makes sense. So Yes.
That makes sense.
I guess. In my
you guys have been on the same show for years. Of course it makes sense.
Yeah, we're like an old married couple.
On the same brain wavelength.
So the Hasbro version of Master Beast Rodimus is actually going to be launched at San Diego Comic-Con.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
What? What is this?
Huh?
San Comic-Con?
Yeah. It's in a place called San Diego, which is in a state called California.
The hell you say?
And
are you speaking another language?
They sell like comic books, so it's full of like quarter bins, and there's nothing there but comic books and Hasbro.
Yeah. It's like one room.
Yeah, it's not. It's a very. It's a small. It's an up and coming convention. It's like the Wilkes-Barre. It's like the Wilkes-Barre Library Con that I'm going to later this month.
So it's
like
just
BotCon 1994.
Yeah.
So it's just finding its legs.
Yeah, it's finding its legs. So yeah, but Hasbro is releasing Masterpiece Rodimus for some reason at San Diego Comic Con.
The same thing happened with Masterpiece Grimlock.
Yeah.
But they're not. Did they sell it there? I mean, they just showed it.
Entertainment Earth is partnered with Toys R Us, so it's going to be at their booth.
Yeah. It's an Entertainment Earth booth that they will be selling.
Okay,
so
it makes sense.
It's not Hasbro Toy Shop.
No,
makes sense. Okay, I'm used to the HTS stuff showing up there. And then
there will be that too. But additionally, Masterpiece Rodimus will be sold first at Comic-Con and then show up in Toys R Us at some point thereafter. If all goes to plan, which, you know, when does that ever happen?
Rarely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want Masterpiece Rodimus, and if you're willing to spend the money to get into San Diego Comic-Con, you're willing to fight through all of the people to get to the booth, and you're willing to actually be around people, you probably don't like Transformers, but if you do, actually just go to Toys R Us and get it for $70 or $60, whatever it's going to cost.
I hope it's just $60. That'd be pretty cool.
God, I hate it.
Actually, didn't the tag actually say $49.99?
That's the MSRP. They always mark it up. They always mark it up.
Yeah, it is Toys R Us.
And you get the, it's not Firebolt. I've already forgotten the name of the new Target Master, but it's a shame
offshoot.
Yeah, the name of the Minicon. It's a shame that that my frickin' Rodimus doesn't have that. It does have a broken leg panel right out of the box.
Yeah, but you know, you can buy this Rodimus, and then you have a Rodimus that's not broken anymore, and a Target Master.
That's true. But it probably doesn't fit into the Winnebago shell.
Well, it probably fits. It just wouldn't be the right color.
Yeah. Okay. So, XV and I were, again, talking before the show. He picked up the Target exclusive Space Case, and we're going to review that later. But thumbs up, XV. Thumbs up. I guess not. So, what else?
The thumbs up face.
Yeah.
What else came in that case?
That's the I'm so pumped face.
What else
the street date for this set of exclusives is July 17th, so most stores don't actually have these on shelves, but if you go look at any Transformers website, the DCPI number is available, and you can probably get somebody to bring you a case out of the back, and if nobody's gotten there before you, there will be one space case in that box.
That's such a great mold. I'm looking forward to it. But you got yours, what, with two left feet?
Yeah, two left feet.
It's kind of like going to BotCon, where, back like at OTSEC, when you would go and everyone would gather around the table to swap parts from their exclusives to make sure that they got a full item.
Memories. It's like the community experience at BotCon.
I love that. So, Tomika, Takara Tomy's diecast vehicle branch, will be releasing a replica of Dark of the Moon Prime and Bumblebee. Yay.
Yeah.
Okay, so also we have a detailed look at the dual mode Optimus kit, which actually kinda looks cool, I guess.
Actually, it's dual model.
Dual model, dual mode. I call it dual
mode.
Does it
transform?
Sorta. It goes from one.
That's kinda how the dual model part works. You build it as a robot, then you build it as a vehicle.
Yeah, it's like the Creo toys.
What?
Or like the trans-scanning figures Takara did for the first movie.
Wait, I thought the dual model kit did not transform whatsoever.
Not as it goes from like Terminator 2 looking Optimus Prime to normal decked out Optimus Prime. That's the transformation.
Yeah. So it doesn't go into vehicle mode.
No, not at all.
Okay. Probably to its benefit anyway.
Yeah.
Apparently it's awesome.
It looks really nice.
It looks pretty cool.
It does look nice. It does look nice. I kind of
like
it.
If you like that design, you'd like this guy, right?
Not worth the old
model kits.
Not worth $150, but anyway.
Is that how much it is?
Jesus, no. That was the MSRP. I mean, I haven't checked.
Oh my gosh. It takes me back to Gundam days.
Yeah. No kidding. Big Bad Toys are selling.
But even Bandai's model kits aren't that overpriced.
Big Bad Toy Store is selling it for $130. If you get the Battle Hooks exclusive set, it's $180.
How big is this?
It's a big one. It's a big one. I'll tell you that.
Is that a metric unit or what?
Yes. There's big in one and big in two.
Is it like metric?
No, it's apparently it's about 9.4 inches tall.
Oh, it's like perfect. It's 9.4 inches tall would be something it's not quite master grade.
No, it's a little bigger than a master grade.
Is it
typically? Yeah, it's not perfect. Best grade is between 7 and 8 inches.
Ah, okay. It's been like 12 years since I've put one of those together.
But a perfect grade's up around a foot, right, John?
That sounds about right.
That was a little more than a foot.
I mean, it probably depends on the design, but...
Well, but I'm just...
Give or take, that sounds about right. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah.
We'll go with that. So, let's see here. What else do we have? We have a video, we'll link to this, of Masterpiece Prime, which is MP10, the transformation... it looks pretty darn slick. It's involved, but it's a masterpiece, so you kind of expect that unless it's Grimlock.
But it's not a matter of lots of disassociated parts floating around a central point,
like Masterpiece Optimus was. His transformation is not intuitive at all, and it doesn't really fit the Optimus Prime character model from anything whatsoever.
No.
So, but yeah, it looks nice. We'll link to that in the show notes. So the Walmart's website. Now, I missed this, so you'll have to fill me in. Walmart's website inexplicably has bios for the Creo characters, and so are these what create? What? Tell me about this. I heard about this, but I don't.
Are they
know
the same bios that are from the Hasbro website?
I haven't seen the ones on the Hasbro website.
Okay, I haven't seen the one on Walmart one, but I did see another one on
Wow. You guys could be
coordinated.
We're really coordinated.
They did come out with some bios last week, I think.
How are they?
The ones on Hasbro website are amazing. I thought they were fun.
The Creo toys themselves. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. But yes,
he can break himself apart.
Yeah,
and then make himself back.
Aw, that's nice.
I saw a commercial for them last night when I went to go see Transformers: Dark of the Moon.
Really?
Yeah, it was great. I was like, "Oh, that's cool."
You saw Dark of the Moon a second time?
I did.
Did it make more sense?
I wasn't as critical on it because I wasn't as moody as I was the first time I went. The first time I went, they screwed it up. So I missed the first part of the movie. And that kind of colored my view of it. But I went back and I saw it on a bigger screen and in 3D, and I liked it much better.
Yeah, we'll revisit the movie discussion at the end of the show. So that's kind of the topic. Kinda.
Spoilers.
There will be some spoilers. Okay. So, in the news, Dark of the Moon was the top grossing July 4th weekend movie of all time. It beat out Spider-Man 2. So, yay.
By $600,000.
Which is very narrow.
Yes.
Yeah, very narrow.
But movie's going.
This is going to be the top grossing movie of the year. Am I wrong?
No.
Harry Potter comes out in a week.
Yeah, I don't think Harry Potter's going to do it.
Harry Potter does come out in a couple weeks. Harry Potter came out shortly after Revenge of the Fallen, too, and wasn't Revenge of the Fallen still the biggest of...
Yes. But this is the last Harry Potter movie.
This is the last movie, though.
Yeah. Eventually, Avatar.
Well, I'm not sure about that, so obviously nobody else does either.
Avatar came out the next year, didn't it?
No, it came out the same year later. Yeah. It beat it. It was insane. That movie was. Never mind.
I didn't see it. I'm not.
I hate that movie so much.
I hate the movie from what I've heard about it. I refuse to watch it.
I hated Avatar so much. It's
one of those movies that I hear if it's in 3D, you love it. If you watch it and like it's not in 3D, it sucks. So
I saw it in 3D and I still hate it.
Really?
Yeah.
So
just don't worry about the story and characterization. Just don't
characterization. So T-Formers reviews Shouts Headmaster's box set and gives it a thumbs up. Go read it. So I want the set myself, but it doesn't include the dubs. But that doesn't seem to. Who reviewed it?
Mike did.
So Mike reviewed it. So the not having the dubs didn't really get in his way.
He actually seemed to. He said it was kind of like not bad. He said obviously there will be controversies of that, but he thinks that it's pretty good, except for the fact that Hasbro tried to make it more for American audiences. And so they kept, I think there was one thing he said, there were some liberties taken. The dialogue was the battle dialogue was mellowed out. References to hell were completely omitted. And they kept calling Fortress in his robot mode Cerebros. Even though it was blatantly obvious that they were calling him Fortress.
Yeah. See, that's a little weird because, again, it's G1. No one cares. It's not like people are watching this and thinking that it was G2. Wait, yeah, actually some people are watching it and thinking that it's G2. What am I saying? But, yeah.
No, that's season 3.
Yes, they think
I don't think that ever happened with the Japanese series.
Actually, I was, I love it when people think season 3 is G2, like XV said. I was reading a post on Facebook today. Hasbro is polling its fans who the favorite, what the favorite toy is. The guy's like, I don't know, it's either Ultra Magnus, Galvatron, Cup, or Rodimus. I love G2 so much. And I'm like, facepalm. Just, it bugs me so much, but I didn't say anything. I'm an asshole, and I'm trying not to be, so I'm going to Assholes Anonymous. So, speaking of Shout, actually, they're going to cancel the pre-orders for the Japanese collection box set. It's going to be postponed. Aww. Is it sales? I'm assuming sales.
It doesn't say in detail. There's just some problem and it's delayed. But that's probably just public relations speak for we don't think this is a good idea anymore.
Yeah.
They listened to the show and they they heard us say, right.
This is a damn bunch of losers.
Yes, RFC is shaping the face of something.
Yes. Your mom.
Fear us.
I'm facing the shape of your mom later.
Yeah, I was expecting your mom joke to come out somewhere.
Okay, so Hasbro Toy Shop is offering free shipping within the U.S. on Transformer purchases of $25 or more until noon Eastern Time, July 18th. Take advantage of that.
Yeah, because except for the shipping costs, Hasbro Toy Shop's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So, also, I didn't notice this earlier. Hasbro's bringing back Beast Machines with Speed Stars?
It's not as cool as it sounds.
Oh.
It's so
I heard about this a couple months ago, actually.
So,
it's just redecoed Speed Stars vehicles with bios now that reference splicing in animal DNA or something like that.
Oh.
It's not like Beast Machines characters.
Oh, they're not like Viacons or anything.
I think like Optimus Prime was crossed with a dragon or something.
That's why you got the flames. That's why you breathe fire.
That's
he has
great.
A tattoo of the dragon on the side of him.
Is he the Optimus with the dragon subtle. Tattoo? I guess not. Okay, so
yeah, just like with any, just like anything else with Speed Stars, it's a lot less cooler than advertised.
I like Speed Stars.
Shut up.
Okay, so okay, hey, John, what's going on in the chat this week?
What's up? Honestly, we're talking about summer movies. So, you know, we started talking about Dark of the Moon, then we kind of started talking about if anybody's going to knock it off its throne the rest of the year, which, again, I guess Harry Potter is the closest thing. Some people are saying Captain America.
Oh, God,
I don't know
no.
if I see that.
I don't think Captain America is going to do it.
Harry Potter certainly has, like, the build-up.
The Captain America trailer makes me think it's going to be my favorite movie of the year. But I'm not deluding myself to think that Captain America is going to pass it. I would love it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, when I was watching the Captain America trailer before Transformers yesterday, there was the one shot where the shield was thrown at the screen.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to just sit there and have that for the full 2 hours over and over again.
The 3D took me out of that. I can't tell you how many times I've watched that trailer sitting here in, like, super fanboy fashion, loving the thing. But the 3D just doesn't work for that movie, so. Well, except for unless they throw the shield at the screen all the time.
It wasn't filmed in 3D, right?
No.
So, yeah. So.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those, unfortunately. So, I think, see it in 2D.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Harry Potter will probably beat Dark of the Moon overseas, like it did the last movie, but probably domestically, probably not.
Yeah, I doubt
Is Harry
it.
Potter in 3D?
Yes.
Oh, well, everything's, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Man. Yeah, it is. It's a shame. So anyway, we for the most part, just talked about that. Actually, and you know what? This kind of brings up an interesting topic, sort of, maybe for down the road. But then we got into, like, what impact bad movies have on movies that come right after it. So not even necessarily, like, did Revenge of the Fallen impact Dark of the Moon? More of, like, with Captain America, is Captain America going to be impacted by Green Lantern? Because Green Lantern did bad. So we talked a little bit
Captain
about
America
that.
Is
it's a little
way
off
better.
Topic, but, you know, we talk about what we want in the chat.
You're but,
you know what
like
I mean? Like a bad movie. Does a related genre, say a movie of the same genre that's poorly reviewed, does that impact the next movie that comes out? And these days, you get like 3 comic book movies a summer in like the span of 2 months.
But,
so,
you know, conversely, shouldn't a like a well-received movie lift a bad movie? So shouldn't Thor have,
yeah,
you know, yeah, lifted Green Lantern's boat?
Yeah, or I guess, or even just talking about like direct sequels, like Iron Man 1 lifted Iron Man 2. And everybody walked out thinking, huh, that didn't work so well.
Ender didn't. Like, Ender loved it.
You know,
Ender thought it was just as good.
I liked it. I thought people were really harsh on it. I don't think it was... Well, here's the deal.
I love Mickey Rourke.
An origin story, easy to tell. Everything after that, then it gets hard. So you got to cut him a little bit of slack, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
cool.
That's the chat.
Awesome. Okay. Amy.
Yes.
Comics. What's going on?
Well, out this week is issue number 21, and it's the beginning of chaos. The Autobots are leaving Earth, and some will never return again. At least that's kind of the vibe that you get in the comic.
Oh, no.
well, this is a good thing, though, right? Everybody's been complaining about, let's get them off the Earth. Let's get them off the Earth. Well, they're leaving now, okay? You got what you wanted. But it was pretty good to me. So Prowl's going to stay, though, because he's going to investigate Spike. So that's going to be, we'll see how it goes.
What's so interesting about Spike?
Supposedly he's done something terrible that will impact things to come. So I'm like, okay, all right, we'll find out.
Investigate him that way. I thought it was good.
No, Peter, that would be probe Spike.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
We're awful.
Next week we're going to be getting ongoing 22, which they said it was going to be bi-weekly, so we just assumed that it would be like we'd get ongoing, and then we'd get a week, and then we'd get ongoing again. But it looks like they're just going to go ongoing 2 weeks in a row, and then we're going to have a break for 2 weeks. So, and then when the next month rolls around, we get the next one. I don't know if it's going to be the same way in August, but apparently this week or this month we will be getting ongoing 22 next week, written by James Roberts. So
nice.
It's going to be awesome because it's by James Roberts. So that's pretty much the news.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Speaking of breaks, let's go ahead and take one. And we're going to go to the TF Wiki Spotlight, as well as we're moving it up in, earlier in the show. Rob Springer, our pal, our RFC expatriate, Rob Springer, with Twitter Theater. So we will be right back.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
It is time once again for the TF Wiki Spotlight, brought to us most weeks by Chris McFeely. Chris, what do you got for us, sir?
The ever unreliable. This week, the spotlight for this week is going to be the VOC. The VOC, of course, I don't think I need to tell anybody except perhaps the really young, because this is so much older than you would actually think it is. The VOC, the aliens from Beast Wars. So this page covers, of course, their history in the Beast Wars cartoon, and that's really their only major fictional appearances, because all their other appearances are consigned to BotCon-exclusive comics, a collated list of all their rather random mentions in the IDW Beast Wars sourcebook, terrible book, and even their brief mention in the animated cartoon. So I think perhaps... a good 50% of the fictional write-up for these characters is something that perhaps a lot of people won't have read, so there'll be plenty to learn there. But the more interesting stuff, and something that often helps me pick my spotlights, is how much behind-the-scenes info we have on them. There's like three whole sections, or four whole sections on behind-the-scenes stuff, because you've got a section detailing the different origins that the different writers of Beast Wars had intended for the VOC. You'll have heard of some of them, others you may not have. Some come from Japanese books that we've had translated. Another section details their motivations, because, of course, that was something we never really found out about in the Beast Wars cartoon either, and that some comics have gone on to talk about. But again, the writers had different intentions, so those are detailed here as well. There's even a section for all the different symbols that were seen on VOC technology and on the Golden Disc, and what some of them may or may not represent. And you can even download a TrueType font that'll allow you to type out those symbols. So there's lots to see and do on the VOC article this week, which is why they are this week's TF Wiki Spotlight.
What the? Greetings from Psykill.
Then you're lurking need of unscribing a
staircase. Hey guys, it's Rob. Once again, Radio Free Cybertron. This week's Twitter Theater, I'm still on the Jollibee train, and it's pronounced Jollibee, like it says clearly in the commercial, but last week I kept saying Jollibee or something. I'm a native English speaker, and I don't have a solid grasp of the language. But as some listeners pointed out, it's Jollibee. And this is a commercial they did for a kid's promotion during Cybertron. And as you see in the video, the kids are in a fun sort of way disguised as household objects. And the mom comes in, Jollibee! And they all transform and go to the dinner table. It's funny. It's cute. One thing that's neat about these toys in the video is, if you guys look at it, those are the Legends of Cybertron toys from Cybertron, as the Kids Mills toys. I don't know if they're scaled down or whatnot, but they looked about the same size. They just maybe missing a paint app or two, which a Legend generally doesn't have a lot of paint apps, but they're clearly not as colorful as the Legends toys were. They, it's kind of odd for me to see that, because I don't... You know, the Burger King... Kids Mill at the time had Cybertron toys in it, and they were crap. Just giant piles of diarrhea dookie stain. They were terrible. I got all of them, of course, because at the time I was a Burger King within a block of my workplace, so every day at lunch I went and got a Kids Mill and a robot. So they were terrible. And these Jollibee toys are not too shabby looking. I don't know if the plastic quality's bad or what. I mean, it's kind of crazy how they get such great promotional toys, and these giant American conglomerate chains get like a booger with a Transformer sticker on it. So it's weird. But in the commercial, you see they show the toys, and Dad gets up, and he's the water cooler. Kind of wonder how he breathed in that thing, because his head's in the water cooler bottle. Oh, no. I'm really, really jealous of Jollibee after watching these commercials. It's kind of strange, because you're like, hey, Jollibee. You know, these huge companies like Burger King and McDonald's that are conglomerates. McDonald's in America. I said McDonald America, whatever. Are huge conglomerates. And I don't know if the food's better at Jollibee, but I'm pretty sure it is. But, you know, these companies have these really basic kids' meals toys. I mean, some of them are pretty nice. And the Beast Wars Happy Meal toys are pretty nice. And yeah, the Armada ones were kind of crappy, but you know, they were what they were. You know, you can't really expect them. See, that's the thing, that's the argument with Kids Mill toys. You say, what did you expect? It's a Kids Mill premium. You don't expect a high quality toy. Well, apparently if you shop at Jollibee, you expect something nice, because these are pretty nice toys. I mean, I'm a little disappointed I'll get these. I'm gonna go buy a Legends and buy like somewhere like Checkers or whatever, and just throw the Legend in there and be like, oh, that's my Transformers kids meal, and try to make it out to myself, because those Jollibee toys look so much better than what we get here. But it is what it is. Well, this is Rob with Radio Free Cybertron. Guys, check it out, tfradio.net/video, so you can watch the full video of Twitter Theater each week. I generally post it sometime on Tuesday with an amusing antidote regarding that week's video. Sometimes it's zany, sometimes it's not. This week, it was like last week, it's a fun commercial. You know, not every week I'm going to find a generally creepy someone's in love with Optimus Prime love note thing, but sometimes it's like that. So check it out. Watch it, try to watch it before you see me talk about it, so that way it makes a little more sense. Anyway, this is Rob for Radio Free Cybertron, and back to the gang. Rhinox farted.
Yeah.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
We all miss Rob so very much. Yes.
Oh, hey, we're back.
Huh? Yes, we are back. Rob is awesome.
With an echo.
There's a slight echo. I will fix that. So, yeah. So Rob, as you know, is not on the show live much, if ever. But he'll live on in our memory. If you listen to the podcast version of the show later on, you'll have an extra special Rob segment. The video version of the show will not include the segment. So, podcast fans get an extra dose. You can actually listen to us on Stitcher at Stitcher.com, which is pretty cool. You can listen on your Android, iPhone, BlackBerry, or WebOS device. So, Stitcher.com. Check that out. Okay. So, let's see here. Hey, XV, do you want to tell us what's going on this week in history?
No, but I will anyway. We're still having an echo.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
I can hear myself like very clearly, and
oh,
I don't
there
like
go.
It.
There you go. That's fine.
Aw,
okay. Damn. Okay, like so, on June 29th, 2009, Transformers The Stargate Battles Collected Edition is released in Japan by Brain Nevi Comics. This has actually been fan-translated and is up on TF Pulp on AllSpark, and it's actually a really good story. You should go give that a read if you've never seen it before. And then on July 6th of 2009... Paid cross promotion goes a little too far when Optimus Prime reads a top 10 list on The Late Show with David Letterman.
I remember that.
And we actually have a video link for that that can be posted in the chat. But I'm not going to do it because I'm lazy.
Very good, very good.
Moving on.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump into this week's topic. And this week's topic is Optimus Prime is a dick. So if you.
Is it kind of like Superman is a dick?
It's not super dickery. It's a little different. I mean, Optimus Prime, Superman being a dick is just kind of like Julius Schwartz's way of getting you to buy the comic. You know, it's like, oh, what's Superman doing? No, Optimus Prime is just a dick. So if you haven't watched Dark of the Moon, you may want to pause, then drive to your local multiplex and go see Dark of the Moon. So
it was a typo.
What's a typo, Peter?
Oh, never mind.
Never mind. I just got confused.
He just got the redux joke.
Regarding ducks.
And no, like, redux, as in... NXV changed it to ducks, as in, like, the Mighty Ducks. Show note topics... show note topic conversation. Just ignore that...
Sorry.
That people watching have no idea what we're talking about.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so yes, so I should probably put the little spoiler graphic up. I'm putting it up for like 3 seconds. Okay, you have been warned. So, Dark of the Moon. To me, this is probably, watching Revenge of the Fallen, I really thought that Optimus was a total jerk. Just, you know, vicious, murderous, and everything. But for most of that, you could say, well, we're in a war, things happen, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know, kill Decepticons, blah, 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 blah. But in this one, in Dark of the Moon, it goes a little farther, and, we posted on the Facebook fan page an Entertainment Weekly article, which pretty much summarized my feelings on the movie. I liked the movie, but like all the other movies, I think it's a little too violent, and the themes don't really... it's not really a movie you would take your kids to see. In fact, I was a total ass at the movie theater when I saw kids. I'm like, man, I've already seen this movie. I would, if I was a parent, I wouldn't take my kid to see this thing.
Wow,
it's bad. But so I think probably the biggest dickish thing that Optimus Prime does in this movie is he allows Chicago to be destroyed to make a freaking point, and he verbalizes this in the movie. So so if you watch the movie, you know that the Autobots are banished. And they are supposedly destroyed. And the Decepticons take over Chicago and kill half the population and just they raise the city. And Optimus Prime. Optimus Prime basically just, okay, let's let this play out so that the humans will realize that we're the good guys and the Decepticons are the bad guys. So. Boom, 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 boom. Night passes. Chicago's destroyed. Optimus Prime comes back. Well, we warned you, human leaders. The Decepticons are bad.
They did crash down in the ocean, so I'd like to presume that they were trying to get out of the ocean at the same time as Chicago was getting, you know, pulverized.
Once they came on shore, probably to sit around for a little while and like pick fish out of their
I think they had a little sit around for a while.
Yeah, they had a sit around. Optimus Prime made the point. I've seen it twice. The second time I watched it very closely, it paid a lot of attention to make sure that I was correct. He said. He let it happen so that the humans would understand that the Decepticons are evil.
They've been working with the humans for how long and they still don't get this already? I was like, I know that the soldiers and stuff like that, they probably got it. But, like, you know, everybody else just... I did not have a problem with this.
Well, okay, so being that they're giant robots and they're not people, I don't trust most people. But if I can't, like, read the face of somebody that that I'm dealing with... If they're like their face is like a sheet of metal, you know, it doesn't change.
If they're
I can't really read into what they're saying. So there's already a trust issue there. But if the guys who are supposedly my allies let like the third largest city in the country be destroyed to make a frickin' point, I question whether or not they're the good guys.
Hmm. Well, it's too late now because
all
the bad guys are dead.
Yeah. Yeah, they put an axe through all the bad guys' heads.
And that's the thing. I mean, so Optimus Prime just gangland style executed his mentor. Took a Megatron shotgun and blew his brains out.
Sentinel was kind of being a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I didn't. But
he was
trying
to conquer the Earth and make us all slaves.
Yeah, I didn't.
Didn't he like give up?
Being a pain in the ass.
I didn't think about this until actually reading this article. But the article in Entertainment Weekly said that a real hero, instead of blowing his brains out, he would have given the guy a lecture and then apprehended him. I mean,
what the police would have done, right? Or supposed to do?
Yeah, there are ways that you could, you know, lock up an Autobot. You could deactivate his spark, or you know, and just like put him in prison. We've seen different ways that the Transformers handle punishment.
Deactivated for 40 years just before this.
Oh no, millions of years.
Or millions of years. But
or
you know
hundreds,
I mean?
At least.
Yeah, so he had just been deactivated, and he's awake for, like, 4 days.
And he kills everybody. But yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah.
Optimus Prime, he is, in these movies, he is just so over-the-top violent that I question whether or not he's the good guy of the film. I think he's just the guy that happens to be on your side, who happens to share the same motives that you do, that he wants the same people dead that you do.
Yeah.
So he's just
like, he's more like Conan the Barbarian,
yeah,
than, you know, John Wayne.
And
he really is. He's just like this whirling dervish of death, and he happens to be pointed towards the badder guys.
Yeah. Am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Cross Optimus Prime, then.
No, I don't
exactly
want to.
That's,
I don't want to talk
value
to
your face.
I mean, so in Crisscross,
same city.
No, pardon me, in not Crisscross, in the episode before last, in Transformers Prime, Optimus Prime, yeah, he commands the Autobots to go save Breakdown. The Optimus Prime that I grew up with was an idiot, but he would have done something like that. You know. The Transformers Prime Optimus is truer to the core of the Optimus Prime character, the legend that's been built up. The movie Optimus, he's an ass. He's just a complete and total dick.
He's a monster.
He's a monster.
You know,
he's a robot.
Sentinel. Worse than Sentinel Prime was the way he killed Megatron was kind of like shocking at the end, because at the end
he took the axe Megatron, and ripped his head off.
How he did it in the novel.
So I mean, like, Megatron is essentially like this homeless guy during the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah. I love Megatron.
He's lost. He's defeated. He's diseased. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, you know what? I'm sick of this. Let's just stop fighting. Axe to the head. Like, no.
How does he die in the...
How about I rip your head off and throw my axe
to... He's supposed to be more like Galvatron in this one, where he's kind of supposed to be a little crazy.
Yeah, how does it happen in the book, Amy?
Well, in the book, of course, he kills Sentinel because Sentinel is trying to kill him. But in the end, Megatron doesn't die. They call a truce, and he's going to go back to Cybertron and rebuild it. And Prime basically says, the Earth is our home, and... You know, he's not quite sure if he can trust Megatron or not, but he has hope, and then that's the end.
I like that. I wish the movie had ended that way.
I know. I wish it did, too.
Well, wait. So he doesn't rip his head off?
No, he doesn't. Not in the book.
So Optimus wants more than just his face now. He wants his whole freaking head.
Screenplay that the book is based off of.
Wow. And he doesn't blow the crap out of Sentinel Prime?
He does kill him because...
Is it kill or be killed, or is it gangland execution?
No, it was kill or be killed. And he was going to kill Prime, and Megatron comes and helps him and stops Sentinel from killing Prime. And then both Megatron and Optimus Prime kill him.
It sounds like a Dragon Ball Z OVA is what it sounds like.
Which one? Which version?
Like the Brawly ones, I guess. I don't know.
I wish it was more like Fusion, Fusion Reborn.
That would be awesome. Oh god, I'm a nerd. So but yeah, but no, I like that a lot better. I like that a lot better.
He did before, but it would come close.
He was more like his character in the book. Like he even paused, like, you know, he's gonna fight. They were gonna actually take up arms and start fighting again. Basically, they kill Sentinel, and then Prime turns to Megatron, and Megatron says, "I'm done with fighting. I want a truce." And
trusting Megatron is stupid, but I still admire the fact that he did it.
He asked, "Well, how can I trust you?" And he says, "Well, I don't care what you decide. Whatever you're going to decide, though, do it quick, because either you kill me or you believe in the truce." And he pauses for a moment and reflects on whether or not he's going to do that or not. And then he decides to give him a chance.
And that's
how the end of the book happens. You have to read it. It's really good. The end of the book felt more like what Optimus Prime should be.
Can I just go back and read the last chapter?
But that's not how Optimus... That's not how
chapter.
Megatron...
Yes, you can read the last chapter. In fact, I don't have it with me. Darn it. You know, if I did, I would read it to you.
I guess, but I could totally buy the movie Megatron doing that after all he's been through. Because by the end of Dark of the Moon, he was, like, crushed.
I really liked Megatron in this book. I felt... In the movie, pardon me. I felt sorry for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like my redneck Uncle Homer. You know, he was just some guy running around, you know, in his truck... feeding his dogs. picking off fleas.
I still don't think that it would be wise for him to trust Megatron.
Probably not.
The way he was just like, after all, what would you be without me? And he's like, well, let's find out. And he's like,
give me your.
I would say that this change was probably Michael Bay's decision.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is.
Probably because he knows he's thinking this is his last Transformers movie, so he wants to end it in, you know, Michael Bay fashion. Michael Bay fashion is not to call a truce and let, you know, people go their own way. It's to blow everything up and kill everyone.
That's not an epic end. It's not explosions and stuff.
There were no explosions. He just ripped his head off. Like that.
And it wasn't even, like, dramatic. It happened in, like, 3 seconds.
Well, he got a line in, let's find out. Then he got the axe and ripped it off.
Axed him in the head. It's like, you couldn't have done this in 2 movies ago,
he did die in the first movie.
Yeah, they both died.
Right.
At least once.
Yeah.
Right, that's right. That's right.
It's been a rough 3 movies
but
for these.
There are lots of examples of Optimus being a dick throughout the whole movies. And I just generally think that the Optimus Prime character that is presented to the world as a whole just isn't true to the Optimus Prime character that Hasbro has spent 20 years building.
I agree with that.
It's really disappointing.
Yeah, remember he threw a pouting fit in this movie.
Yeah.
He didn't talk to anybody. And they implied it happened.
He was given the silent treatment.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's pouting.
And it's not that Optimus is a character who's afraid to fight. Far from it. He's just not a guy who's going to shoot you in the back, or he's not a guy that's a character in the back. Yeah. He's a character that should in some capacity be a good influence on the people around him and to the kids watching at home. But this one's not. He's a jerk.
Well, I mean, you know, Sentinel deserved it.
Yes, Sentinel probably did deserve it, but he was begging for his life. And
yeah,
he was
that's
just
why he
no
be,
Optimus, no!
And he was just
that's why he should be shot.
And he was incapacitated. He had there was nothing that he could do. You know, we know that the Transformers that they could probably just rip his head off. And, you know, instead of, like, killing him.
It would have made sense if he had said something like, this is for Ironhide, you know?
Yeah.
What about that?
Was it no time to mourn for Ironhide, or is it just that these characters...
Well, remember, this isn't the first time something like that's happened.
Jazz. Didn't he say something like, we'll mourn for Jazz or something at the end of the first movie?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Well. Never mind. I take it back.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, now that I think about it, in this, have we ever had any, like, accidental deaths in these movies? So, like, if Sentinel Prime is fighting and, like, in self-defense, he accidentally falls on his sword or something like that. You know, it's like an inadvertent death. You know, that old
trick.
It's always, like, intentional, grotesque murder.
So, when the Autobots are fighting the SUV twin things, they look like the guys in white from The Matrix, but they're not. You know what I'm talking about with the hair and everything. It looked like people were accidentally killed in that fight.
Can't imagine they weren't.
Yeah, and people like in the freeway scene in general were accidentally killed. Like in the scene where the island was ripped off, that footage.
Yeah.
There were accidental deaths. These are awful, awful characters. Why do people take their kids to see these movies?
Hey, yeah, if you watch it, am I wrong? Did Bumblebee get the first, like, human kills in this movie? It's implied, but when he, like, crashes through that gate at the very beginning of the movie.
I think those people were shown to run away somehow.
Okay. Yeah,
somehow.
Specifically avoiding actually hitting anyone.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're not dead.
Yeah, they're not dead. They're just laying there.
On the topic of human casualties, I have to admit I laughed at the Decepticon weapons that left all the clothing behind but completely vaporized the human bodies.
It's like that was pretty morbid.
This
it looks like the Rapture.
Yeah.
Except for the skull.
The skull is a little over the
right,
top.
Right. Well, you know, skulls are remnants. You know, those are not. You don't need skulls in heaven.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not saying I didn't like the movie because I did. I watched it twice and I even liked it the second viewing. But I
liked it better in the second viewing when I did it.
I went to see IMAX the first time, and I know Peter doesn't like the fact that I went to see it in IMAX because it was not shot in IMAX. The IMAX theater was much better, much larger screen. The picture was sharper. I liked it better the second time I saw it in real D. It looked good, but not as good. And the sound was nowhere near the same.
Real IMAX or fake?
Yeah. Real IMAX.
Oh, okay. Then that's fine.
I agree.
I'm okay with that.
So, but
I did the exact same thing.
I just didn't want you to get ripped.
I enjoyed it, and the sound is so much better. The sound is so much better. But yeah, except for the fact that the second movie sucks so bad, ignoring that, my biggest complaint with the whole trilogy is just that it's so darn violent. And I regret that because I think Hasbro probably does too. It's just Hasbro loves money and they can't really say no.
Well, yeah, and I mean, every movie has ramped up the violence over the last one.
Yeah, the first one was violent, but not so terribly violent. The second one was really violent, and this one was... if I had children, I would never take them to see this.
Okay,
well,
so I got a question.
I have the same plan of taking my kids, so...
What, John?
So, I got a question. This is kind of Hasbro's stance.
The world is jealous, Amy. Like, the internet is jealous.
See if you buy it. So, their stance kind of is, the movies are for teenagers and adults, and the toys are for children.
How do you separate that? It's like the RoboCop 2 figures that were on sale.
I don't know. You're going to have to ask them.
Any RoboCop figures, really. I mean, it's all coming back to the same thing.
Well, the TV show wasn't violent. It had Rowdy Roddy Piper on it. I mean, it wasn't bad.
For all 10 episodes?
I liked it. But RoboCop 3 wasn't so awful. It was PG-13. It was awful, but it wasn't awfully violent.
RoboCop 3 is awful, but not
violent. Violence, yeah. What, Amy? What were you saying?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is Cybertron toast?
No. Okay, so that's a good question. I don't think it was Cybertron shearing. I think it was space. I think it was space being shaped.
Bent.
Bent. I don't think Cybertron was affected. I think it was the space.
Because it looked pretty bad. I mean, for me, it looked like it was imploding.
Or it could have been perspective. It could have been the space between us and Cybertron. It's impossible to say. It's inconclusive.
My take on that was the first time the space bridge got interrupted, there was a separated chunk of
Cybertron. It looked that way.
There.
Hmm. I mean, because it did look, because if you remember, like, when they did destroy it, there is an explosion, and it starts going backwards. It shows it from its point of view, and then it shows you from outside of Earth, and you're looking at it, and it's imploding in on
itself. I think if it was really twisted, we would have seen tearing and stuff. We didn't see. I think it was space, so.
Yeah, I think that was just, I think that was just a space.
Yeah.
It was just the plot device to slingshot the part of Cybertron out of Earth's orbit, because
it would have destroyed Earth.
There would be a kind of bad thing in the long run.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's that planet over there? It's just Cybertron.
It's
only like a quarter of it, you know, not a big deal.
That was more like a 20th of it, Peter.
Yeah, 20th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah, that was one thing I appreciated about that, though, is that the movie Cybertron is appropriately huge.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so, hey, John, what does the chat think?
You know what? I think the chat is kind of divided on Optimus Prime. So I think a good deal of people think he was a good character or acceptable. And then other people kind of accept that, maybe he was a bit of a dick and a bit of, not our Optimus, right?
Yeah.
Also, I think, it's not unanimous on, like, the last couple of deaths, the Megatron death, the Sentinel death, whether or not he was completely justified. So I think a lot of people kind of understand the situation as it was presented in the movie. And then, of course, some people don't. They agree it was a little unnecessary. So, I mean, we definitely get mixed opinions on Optimus Prime. I don't think it's like there's a majority of people who like or dislike him. He seems like essentially, kind of like a polarizing figure. It may depend. Like, I wonder if it depends on how much nostalgia or memory you have of all the Optimus Primes, like starting with G1, if that clouds your judgment. Because if this is like your first Optimus Prime, first of all, God help you. Second of all, I mean, you have no base. So, I mean, it just he is what he is.
He's like an alligator. He's just like there, and get out of its way because it can bite your head.
Right, because he's probably going to kill you.
Yes. Okay. Awesome.
Optimus Prime's not good or bad. He's just the force of nature.
Yes. 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 Okay. Let's go ahead and jump to XVs. I didn't set it up. So.
Fine.
Yeah. Sorry. Let's go ahead and jump to Crave Corner, and we'll be right back after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is time again for the Crave Corner. And with me, as always, I have Cole Sickler from Crave.com. Hey, Cole, how's it going?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, I am making it, sir. So last week, we didn't do the show because of Dark of the Moon.
Conflicts,
but, so what did you think?
What did I think of the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, the whole company actually went to see it on Wednesday. I liked it a lot. I'm kind of hitting the point in my life where long movie, like, I feel like movies kind of drag out, and I did think it did a little bit, but once, like, the action hit and, like, it was revved up, I thought it was a lot of fun and really cool.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it, and I am someone who I've been flamed incessantly and constantly for my just unrepentant hatred for the second movie, and
I'm not a fan of the second one at all. I didn't like it.
Second one's
awful. I enjoyed this one a lot. Once it got its momentum going, I thought it was awesome. I just think it did take a little while for it to get there.
Yeah, so pretty good. Everyone at Crave enjoy it for the most part.
Yeah, we had mostly positive things to say for sure. And I thought the 3D was pretty cool. That worked well.
Excellent. Okay, so what's going on at Crave this week?
I think I'm losing you.
It's okay.
You're back now. Okay.
So what's going on at Crave this week?
This week, I think we're in our fourth week of Featured Series Week, and this week we're doing G1s, both vintage and commemorative. So we announced that at the end of last week, and most of our promotional materials go out in the second half of the week. So we're going to be pushing a lot of the G1 listings that we have up. So if sellers want to get some G1 promotions, you know, relist your G1s, list ones you don't have yet. There are already a couple pretty cool ones on the site right now. So, yeah.
I am looking for Octopunch. I went and updated my want list. There were most of the items, except for maybe a couple of the items. Like, I think there wasn't a Star Saber listed, but mostly what I wanted was there, which is pretty sweet. I am definitely
awesome.
Gonna pick up an Octopunch if my wife will let me.
That's what we like about the want list.
The want list is awesome. So yeah, so this week is G1. So what? Any idea what's coming up in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, a couple have gotten listed so far right now. You know, Jason Carnley, who's been with us since the beginning, usually lists great G1 stuff. He repairs them himself if they're broken. He's got a custom Mirage that's built to look like the Diathlon E-Hobby version, so it's red instead of blue.
Ooh.
And I think it's pretty cool looking, as well as, like, a Defensor. And then Matthew C. Larson has also been posting a lot of G1s in the past couple weeks. So there's a complete Quake with heater and tip top for $35
that's not bad.
Has some good price votes on it.
Getting Quake complete is hard because, of course, the Target Masters are easy to lose.
Yeah, that's definitely the trend I've noticed when people post Transformers with Target Masters on the site, for sure. But yeah, and then there's an Astro Train, G1 Astro Train, $27 in complete condition, which the Astro Train's a pretty popular item on our site in general. People really like to pick up the G1 Astro Train.
I think it's one of those toys that people fondly remember, and it's just, I've got to have it, and I get it. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's good. But, you know, I have two. I recommend everyone get one.
Yeah. Well, I feel like a common comment that I see is, like, this was my favorite triple changer, or the first triple changer I got when it comes to Astro Train. Like, that comment appears on the website a lot from a lot of different people. He was popular when he came out.
And that's one thing I really like about Crave is someone posts something, and you can go up and comment on it. Like, hey, this is a great price, or maybe not the best price ever, or this is a really good, you know, underestimated or, enjoyed, I guess, or under a toy that's not as fondly remembered as it should be. Kind of like Blot. Blot is the best Transformer ever. He's a transforming nose.
I don't think I've seen that one before.
Look it up.
I will. That sounds very intriguing.
Blot is nose.
There's also a commemorative Skywarp complete in package, which is looking pretty good for about $25.
That's not bad.
And I feel like the commemoratives are probably a little easier to find because they're newer, but I remember, like, I had a Starscream and Thundercracker G1 when I was little, and I lost the wings and the hands, I think, within a month.
Yeah.
Like, they were just gone instantly.
That's one of those things.
Seeing those complete.
Yeah, that's one of those. The commemorative line really sort of killed the aftermarket, fervor that existed for Starscream. Mm-hmm. Starscream used to go for like $600.
Oh, I believe it. People go crazy for their Starscream.
Yeah, and now the commemorative still goes for a pretty good amount. So
yeah, for sure. Let me see.
While you're looking,
then there's also some great sort of backlog G1 stuff that's in the best the deals section. So there's a complete Rodimus Prime that's looking pretty cool.
Not a bad toy.
And then there's a complete Fortress Maximus, although it's rated a good price, but it's Fortress Maximus, it's hard to find, so the price is pretty high.
Yeah, the price on that over the last 10 years has gone up dramatically.
Yeah, but it's loose and it's loose but complete, and the pictures look great.
What's the asking price on it?
It's $850.
I've seen it for more.
Yeah, I mean, people voted good price on it. It's got 7 good price votes, so.
When I first started actively collecting Transformers, that was about the going price for Grand Maximus. You're not going to find a Grand Max for $800 now.
Yeah.
So, things going well with Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. Things are going great with Star Wars. We're picking up momentum. We're kind of on par in our history terms with the Transformers launch, which is good. And we're picking up momentum sooner, which we like. Yeah, definitely. Star Wars is going great, and if any Transformers fans are on Crave and also into Star Wars, they should definitely check out our Star Wars section. Looking good.
I am totally dying for G.I. Joe.
It's like the Transformer thing. We died? Did you just say no?
I'm dying for G.I. Joe.
Oh, you're dying for G.I. Joe? Well, have you voted for G.I. Joe on the homepage?
Yes, I have. Right. Yes. Yes, I have. Awesome. Sweet. Excellent.
That's definitely one of the front runners from my anecdotal evidence of people telling me what they want. So
I want G.I. Joe. Awesome. So, anything else, Cole?
No, that's pretty much it. Get your G1s out, and we'll be promoting them starting tomorrow through the rest of the week.
Fantastic. Okay, so I guess we will talk to you later. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys. Okay.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android device, BlackBerry, or Palm Phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the App Store. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
This week, Targets began receiving their exclusive Deluxe Dark of the Moon toys. Among less interesting units from this assortment was the anticipated Space Case recolor of Terra Dive from Hunt from the Decepticons late last year. As not just a fan of G2, but Cyberjets in particular, I was really looking forward to getting this Space Case. Once we found out that it was only one unit per box of 8 toys, I was alarmed. I made a focused effort to go and make sure I'd be able to find one of these, and having succeeded in this, I can only say, crap. I knew ahead of time that the toys' colors weren't a perfect match for the original Space Case, and that a large portion of it was to be translucent plastic. Eventually, I got to be okay with that, even though I sorely missed the intricate paint applications that made the original Space Case toy so distinctive. What was really important to me here was that this Space Case used the alternate head for the Terra Dive mold, just like the Japanese Vortex recolor of Tomahawk used that mold built in alternate. Space Case's head doesn't really evoke the original to any degree, but really, I'm happy that it isn't just a rerun of Terra Dive's head. Terra Dive was well known for being fragile, and for the most part, Space Case improves on the plastic tolerances, and the legs tend not to fall off or collapse underneath the toy. This comes in trade, however, for the arms more easily sliding off their swivel joints above the elbows, most likely occurring when you transform it into robot mode. I said before that after getting Space Case, my response was crap. So, let's break bad. The quality control on this toy is horrible. My copy of the toy has 2 left feet, just to start with. The weapon will not lock in either spear or trident modes, and of more concern is that the hinge to fold the shaft for the vehicle mode storage is misassembled. The spear is thus bent sideways slightly, and trying to fold the weapon feels like the hinge wants to tear apart. Just to top it off, the tabs that hold many of the parts in place actively resist fitting in their slots, making it difficult to lock the toy together in robot mode. If you want Space Case, move on it quickly. Chances are that any given target location is only going to get a few of these, as in low single digits, through the life of this assortment. Hopefully you'll turn up a copy with better quality, but you need to be aware of the possibility that exists with this toy. Look for a full review and gallery coming soon to figurereviews.com.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Give me your face.
Hey guys, it's Rob. This is my weekly little segment here on RFC, my Lewis Black moment. And, you know, last week I was talking about Dark of the Moon and how cool it was, all this stuff's coming out and what have you. And, you know, I saw the movie over the weekend and I really enjoyed it. Judging by responses on Twitter and message boards, it seems like the majority of people who watched it really enjoy it. Sure, there's a lot of people who didn't, but there's a lot of people that don't enjoy anything new, ever. It's just like, you know, something new comes out, and apparently there's going to be a percentage of the fan base who doesn't like it. Yes, they're right. That's okay. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about here today. This kind of occurred to me while I was watching Dark of the Moon, and I've been thinking about it over the weekend. And it's not, you know, I watched that Trans 4th of July marathon on the Hub with the G1 episodes and the Prime episodes. And it's not going to be a popular opinion here, but, you know, it's my opinion and no one else's. You know, the movie Prime, Optimus Prime in the movies, might just be a more effective leader than G1 Prime. In fact, he is a more effective leader. And I can already hear people going, and it's, you know, getting real here, guys. Just getting real here for a moment. In the old G1 cartoon, Prime didn't really get anything done. He kept wanting to give Megatron a chance to, I surrender. And sure, that's like, hey, there's compassion and what have you. But there's a moment when a war rages to the point where it's, we have to stop them. And look at any war in history, and how was it solved? You know, the winning side beat the crap out of the other side. You know, sure, we didn't annihilate the whole other side, but neither does Optimus in the movie. Optimus just kills them and sends them packing. You know, they weren't chasing the Decepticons leaving the battle scenes with guns raging. He killed the ones they're fighting. Who ran away got to live. And that's kind of how it works in war. In the cartoon, Optimus has been like, Megatron, let's end this war. No. We've been doing this for millions of years. You think I'm going to change my mind? You know, only time in the old cartoon where Optimus really did any ass-kicking was in the movie. You know, the whole you got the touch moment where he just transformed into a truck, mowed over a billion Decepticons and beat the piss out of Megatron. And, you know, he's about to, presumably about to shoot him there. And to Hot Rod, you know, intervene and, well, we know how it goes. And, you know, people say in the movies Optimus is something of a psycho. And, you know, it's, you know, we can all laugh, give me your face, he's chopping up people. And then we stop and stay for a second. He's fighting a war. You know, you don't shoot them all in the leg and say, you remember that, and I'm giving you a chance. No, because we'll come back and shoot you. So Optimus, you know, sure, he might not have went about in the most diplomatic ways or the most peaceful ways or ways we were used to seeing Optimus Prime go about it, but probably the most realistic way. I don't want to fight this war. I'm tired of this war. But you're not fixing to take, you know, kill innocent people and my friends or whatever. I'm going to stop you. You know, what's no matter the cost? No matter the cost, I'm going to kill you. And that's what he did. And that's what you have to do in war. You know, there's a reason bullets kill people. And there's a reason we use bullets in war. Because we're killing them. And that's the unpleasant truth of war is someone's going to die. A lot of people are going to die. And, you know, people don't like to think of, you know, their heroes killing someone, but they killed someone. You know, most of the time, and you know, war, you know, these war heroes, they killed a lot of people. And they survived. You know, or the officer he gave the order to kill a lot of people. That's what Optimus did. You know, of course, he doesn't like it. He's grizzled and all that, but he did. You know, people want to talk about the ethics and all that. Well, you know, see it how you're going to see it, but it's war. You know, it's not playing nice. You only take prisoners of war when you can afford to. If you can't afford to, you assassinate them, and that's how they do it. You know, if there's no time to take a prisoner, they're going to kill them. They're not just going to tie them up and come back and get them later. That's called a mistake that costs you soldiers. It's an unpleasant part of it all, but that's the real world. Yeah, that's the real world analogy in a fantasy setting. So, you know, I've ranted before on RC about how G1 Prime did nothing but play basketball, or even in the comics, hey, I'm going to play a video game. Kill me over a video game, you know. All my soldiers are dying, but when Ratchet dies, bleh, you know. It's like Optimus Prime is just a moody, bratty little boy in some ways. While in the movies, he's all hard and grizzled and grumpy. Because wouldn't you be if you've been fighting and fighting and killing people for millions of years? You know, think about that. Wouldn't you be kind of, no one sitting around, let's have a little tea. Fighting a war for millions of years. My best friend was just shot in the back. No, we're going to be in a pissed off mood. We might be a little psychotic after a while. Might say stuff like, get in your face. We might do that. But yeah, that's my opinion. And it's just mine. It's not yours. If you don't agree, whatever. And if you do agree, you should see what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not saying movie Optimus Prime is a better leader, because he does some stuff that's kind of weird, I mean, but that, you know, it's not Shakespeare. If you're expecting Shakespeare, well, then you probably deserve to be disappointed. It'd be great to get, you know, Shakespeare, but it's not going to happen. We're going to get summer movies. But yeah. Optimus is definitely, in the movie, a more effective military leader. So, that's my thoughts. Well, probably not the most popular opinion, and probably not the most funny one I've done. I don't mean to be funny. Anyway, maybe next week we'll be back on RC, and maybe my next thing will be a little more funnier. Maybe a little more popular opinion. But no. I'm sticking with this one. In the movies, Optimus is a better military and a more effective commander. Not as nice as a guy, though. Because, I mean, you gotta admit, G1 Prime had a little something to him. Hey, we're gonna end a war over a fight match with this guy who might deceive me. Yeah, he's gonna keep his word. That's how it went. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. This is Rob. See you guys next week. Or see y'all.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.